Right off the bat, Jeff Passan, you might have read that article about baseball returning in May to Arizona. What was your whole initial reaction about having everybody out in Arizona and the teams and the quarantine and all that stuff?
Yeah, see, that stuff I'm okay with. It's the only thing out of all of that I have a problem with is May. I just, you know, I think trying to say you're going to play baseball next month is a huge leap of faith right now. I just don't see how that happens in a six-week span, the logistics alone, trying to set all that up. But listen, if it gets the game back sooner, I'm all for it. I just can't imagine it being that soon. But I know, you know, I was talking to Jerry Remy today, and he was dismissing the whole thing, saying, I don't know how they pull that off. And, you know, they may have to pull that off to get started,
right?
You know, before it's too late. I mean, Arizona's the place to do it because everything is close. Florida's too spread out. You got, what, 10 spring training stadiums and another, you know, the Major League ballpark for the Diamondbacks, Chase Field. So you got 11 ballparks. The visuals of it would be so bizarre. I mean, if you read the whole thing, they're talking about players not being in the dugout, being up in the stand so they can be 6 feet apart and spread out all over the place, expanding rosters maybe by as much as double so that as guys get sick, they'll get taken out. If they test positive, I mean, there's a huge amount of logistical challenges to overcome here. But why not? I mean, why not try to think outside the box?
Exactly.
We've said this week after week with you guys. The first sport back, the first games back, are going to be national events and moments that'll be ingrained in our memories for life. And why not try to be that if you can be first?
So you and Eck and Wake and Lions and all those guys looking forward to sitting out at the entrance doing the pregame show in 123 degrees?
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's funny because I did, you know, name dropping all over the place here, but I did talk to Eckersley this morning. Eck and I had a long conversation, and, you know, I bet you there's a pretty good chance that however sports resume, that you're probably going to see a lot of these games initially broadcast with the announcers somewhere completely different. You know, back in studio, or we're not far away from doing it from our living rooms as we watch monitors. I got to think they're going to try to limit. Listen, most of your broadcasters are considerably older than players. Older people we know tend to take and get hit by this a lot more severely. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you can have a robot behind home plate so that you don't have to have another body right there behind the man, behind the catcher. That's what they were talking about. So, yeah, I'm not sure we'll be in Arizona. We might be at an undisclosed location.
The thing, TC, that bothered me about the whole thing, and this was a follow-up article in The Athletic today from Ken Rosenthal, is it feels like some of this is political pressure to get baseball back out there, and that rubbed me the wrong way. Did you get the sense there was any political pressure to get baseball back earlier than maybe people think has been possible?
Yeah, it's the first thing I thought of. I don't know about pressure, but political ramifications, right? I think this all stems from that meeting President Trump had with nine sports leaders plus the head of the WWE. And so I think there's absolutely some unspoken pressure that Trump has made it clear he believes that getting sports back would be good for the national psyche. And by the way, I'm 100% on board with that. I think he's right. Again, do you want to force it with things that don't really make sense? I don't know. But I'll watch a baseball game played in a parking lot right now, let alone Arizona.
Tom Karen, Red Sox, Bruins, et cetera, Nesson with us here on The Huddle. Thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, 802-363-6371. Always here for you in your time of need. You talk about possible rule changes that we could implement in this quarantine biosphere. No mound visits, electronic umpires. What did you make of those rule change ideas?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to try anything, right? You're trying to mitigate the close personal contact. Baseball has an advantage over other sports. While there is some contact, there isn't nearly as much as a basketball, hockey, football game, which is all based on contact. You can play baseball with a minimal amount of interpersonal contact. So, you know, again, this year is going to be different. However they play baseball is going to be different. And I'll tell you the one that I've had the most debate with talking to people today. Did you see Justin Turner's idea about the home run derby?
No.
So he says, Justin Turner, the Dodgers, says, listen, if we're going to play, and we're going to try to play 80, 90, 100 games in 70 or 80 days, right? We're talking seven-inning doubleheaders, all that. He goes, you cannot have and I think he's absolutely right. You cannot have 17-inning games in the middle of that kind of stretch. So he said, if you get one extra inning, and if nobody scores in the 10th, bring out the screen, and we have home run derby to settle it. And people are baseball purists are out of their mind, and I love the idea. We did an Eastern League All-Star game. I did play-by-play of the AA Eastern League All-Star game 5 years ago at Hadlock Field in Portland, Maine. The Sea Dogs hosted it. And they actually did that. They said if it goes, instead of going extra innings, we're going to have enough pitchers. So if it goes, if it's tied after 9, we're going to have a home run derby. Guess what? It was tied after 9, 4-4. They brought out the screen, 3 guys from each team. Nobody hit a home run. It went 6 rounds. By the time the guy hit it, guy from the Binghamton Mets, I don't remember his name. He never made it to the majors. Both teams were on their respective, the first and third base lines. You know, 50 players hanging out on the field. And as soon as that guy hit the home run, that the team was already out there going nuts. It was such a great visual, guys. And it's exactly the type of spark baseball could use in this weird shortened season of 2020. I hated the shootout when the NHL brought that, and now it's just a way of life. I don't think it's that crazy an idea. Let's have coaches throw batting practice for the home run derby to decide who wins the game.
TC, I'm with you. I want to get it back, and I think we could try to make it work. I think I'm more on that side than Rich and Brady. But my thing is this, if you don't want it, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for a vaccine? Are we waiting for zero new infections? What number are we looking for before we bring it back? Because any number we're looking for, I don't think is realistic.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. If you're going to go on the other side, if you're going to go completely on the side of caution and safety and 100% accuracy, you're waiting for a vaccine, right? And if you're waiting for a vaccine, I don't think you're going to have baseball in 2020. And so that's the trade-off, okay? And listen, you got to get the players involved. Baseball, as you guys saw, I'm sure, you know, released a statement midday saying, whoa, we're not doing this. We're just exploring this. Let's all calm down, because everybody was freaking out about this midday today. And so that was smart of Major League Baseball to get that out there and say, we're just throwing the ideas around, trying to come up with something that might work. And you know, they're not there yet. But, yeah, I don't think it's either extreme. I don't think you're going to rush it in May just to have baseball at any cost. And I don't think you're going to wait till there's a vaccine, which might not even be in a year.
Right.
So somewhere in the middle, and we don't know where that middle is yet.
TC, since all bets are off, how about the ideas of miking up players? I mean, it's happened
to a point in the past. I mean, now's the chance to do it.
Yeah.
Now's the, you know, now, and the players are the ones who resisted that all along.
Right.
So hopefully they don't, and hopefully they realize that this is all a chance to do two things, to help America get through this and to help the psychological issues that we're all facing by these strange times. And it's also a chance to put Major League Baseball back in the middle of the national sports conversation. Because I love the sport and I'll defend it to the end, but I'm the first to tell you, it hasn't been there in a while. And do you want to be more like the NFL, or do you want to be more like boxing and horse racing, which had their day as well? And if you want to be more like the NFL, you got to try some crazy stuff, because the NFL, everything they experiment seems to make the game more popular. And you know, this is your chance to do that, especially if you can be playing baseball. I don't care when you start, but here's what I keep saying. If you can be playing baseball in August, that means you beat the NFL back to the game, and that you would probably be the only sport in town in August. Then that has been a major coup for Major League Baseball, and they should do whatever they can do. Have training camps over, spring training, whatever you're going to do, get that over with so there is actual baseball being played August 1st. That should be the goal.
TC, does it feel a little bit dirty to you, though, that baseball is using the coronavirus to get to the electronic umpire? That's something that they've wanted all along, something Manfred has wanted, the players have resisted, and it feels like they're using the coronavirus to make that happen now. That feels wrong to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't bother me in the big picture. It really is a good way to limit the people. I think ultimately, and we've said this in the past, I think ultimately there's going to be an umpire behind home plate. He's just going to have a gizmo that tells him if it's a ball or a strike. This year, you might not even have that umpire behind home plate. But that's fine. I don't know that they're using it. I think they're probably looking at this and saying, and this is a way to get it out. Listen, I think you should be using this opportunity. And again, it's hard to think of a pandemic as an opportunity. But for baseball, this is an opportunity to try all the wacky, stupid stuff you guys and I have been talking about for years that baseball has never tried. Well, let's try it all this year, because this year is going to be different no matter what you do. It's not going to be like the normal season. So why not roll it all out there and try?
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us here on the Huddle 101.3. The game, all thanks to Stacey Adamski at Adamski Law, 802-363-6371. Some news from semi on the field. We heard some stuff from Chris Sale today about his rehab, about his surgery, and about the idea that he wonders if he had coronavirus. Were you on that conference call today?
Yeah, I was. It was interesting stuff, and I've talked a little bit about this in the past. I got real sick while I was in Fort Myers, and I have wondered if it, now I look back on it, I had gone even went into a walk-in clinic and had it checked. We didn't check for coronavirus. We didn't know what it was at the time. This was early February, maybe a week after Chris Sale was sick. And Ron Renicki had said he had come into camp just after having a brutal fever, he said. And a lot of people, it was going around. Some of our Nesson crew got sick. And again, I'm not suggesting it was, but I can't help but wonder if it was. And we may never know unless we end up taking a test for the antibodies down the road. But that, you know, there was a front office member of the Red Sox who went home and was quarantined for a while, not because we thought it was that, but just because he was sick and they didn't want it bouncing around. You know, he had pneumonia. Chris Sale did when it was all said and done. I wound up with sort of a walking pneumonia thing afterwards. A lot of us were fighting something down there, and we all assumed it was just seasonal cold and allergy and flu. Who knows? I mean, if what we're hearing now, that the Super Bowl might have been kind of ground zero for a lot of the spreading of this, and that's what the governor of Florida thinks, is that it was at the Super Bowl and people left there spreading it everywhere around the U.S. Well, that's 2 weeks before we all got to spring training. So if it was in Florida then, it could have easily been in Florida when Chris Sale was sick. And, you know, I'm glad somebody asked that, because I've wondered if that's what I had and what some other people had. And to hear him right away say, oh, yeah, I've been wondering about that, it makes a lot of sense that could have been it.
No, absolutely. Let's get on to the NHL, because, I mean, they had to talk about playing in North Dakota. I don't know how realistic that is, but now Commissioner Bettman said another thing is to shut down the season. So, you know, when we say it's crazy to play baseball in Arizona, well, your other option is shut it down. Is the NHL going to shut down? How terrifying is that?
Well, it's terrifying for the Bruins, because they had a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's, you know, like baseball, right? You're going to hit a time where it's just too late to do anything. And hockey, unless you decide to come back in the fall and finish this season before beginning next season, which seems a little crazy to me, but you're going to run out of time here if you start projecting down the road. Again, I don't think we're there yet. I think you could certainly get to the point where if you were sitting here in late June, then you'd probably say, you know, it's too late to do anything now. But if you can come back in a month, like baseball's talking about, then it's not too late. But it's the contact in hockey, you know? These guys are banging all over each other. Hopefully Marchand's not licking anybody anymore. You know, hopefully that'll be the good thing out of this pandemic, as he stops that. But I do think that they are not far away from having to make the ultimate decision of trying to salvage something or pulling the plug.
Ugh, that's hideous.
North Dakota's a great arena, by the way. University of North Dakota rates great.
Oh, it is.
And,
it's beautiful.
And it makes sense to go. Saskatoon was the other one. They built an NHL arena hoping to get a team and never did.
Nice.
And I would hide. That's one thing, too, by the way, guys. If you're going to go with this single location for anything, I think if it's hockey, you're going to have one in Canada and one in the U.S. I can't imagine the games will only be played in the U.S. With the appetite for hockey there is in Canada.
Because Saskatoon is French for hockey. I mean, it doesn't get any more hockey than
French,
that.
It's French for cold, I think.
maybe Moose Jaw or something, but wait a minute.
Yeah, Hamilton, Ontario has a great 17,000-seat arena, Cops Coliseum, that they never got an NHL team. I mean, there's all these NHL arenas that were built in Canada that never got an NHL team, so you could certainly go play these games there. But again, if they're going to be played with no fans, then you might as well go play at a Cairns Arena in South Burlington. Go play it anywhere.
DC, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm actually, because I'm a nerd, I guess this is why I'm interested in this, but I'm interested in this for the NHL and the NBA. So Torrey Krug was talking earlier today about his contract talks with the Bruins, says they haven't really happened yet. If the NHL comes back and pushes into July, August, whatever, what happens to the offseason calendar in these sports where you're talking about guys who are only supposed to be under contract until the end of June, now all of a sudden playing in August? Like, what happens to free agency and stuff?
Yeah, that's a really good point, and one that I honestly think has been underplayed here. You know, that whole idea, and people have thrown it around in hockey, of coming back to finish the season and then playing that way. What, then you have a week to sign with a new team? You know, yeah. Or you sign with a new team before the resumption of this season, and you go play, you know, Torrey Krug signs with the Red Wings and goes plays with the Bruins first and then gets hurt there and what have you. Yeah, there's a lot of ramifications on the free agency side, which is why I think, and when Bettman says that, that's part of what he's saying. You know, the easier play sometimes might be, let's just, you know, shut it off. We're not going to get back on the ice till August anyway. Why not just wait till the beginning of next season and start fresh? There's really no point in slapping together something that doesn't make a lot of sense and then creating all those headaches of free agency, of severance time, of all of that. So I don't want to say it's better, because it's not better for the fan for the sport to shut down, but it might make a lot more sense in the end than trying to jam it in Labor Day.
Before we let you go, TC, did you cut your hair?
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, that Facebook shot the other day.
I'm pretty lucky because, you know, I mean, it's not like I had long hair to begin with, but, you know, I had the surgery, you know, and now I'm wondering if I should have just waited for this, because everyone's it's crazy. What are you going to do? You're going to have someone come over in a hazmat? My neighbor's daughter is a hairdresser, and she, you know, she's been laid off, so she's hanging around. She's like, I'll come over and cut your hair. I was like, what, in a hazmat suit? I mean, you can't, you know. So, no, just going to let it grow, man.
TC's got hair like his son now. Who knows? There,
I'm getting there. I can't imagine what Jackson's going to look like. It's going to look like it did, I guess. It doesn't really matter.
He's Tom Caron, our Red Sox and Bruin insider. Nessa, thanks to Stacey Adamski and Adamski Law. You be safe out there, TC, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Same to you. Everybody be safe.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care. Tom Caron.